This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
So you have a podcast, and you really want to make money with it. Then you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. Check this out. We'll host your podcast for free. You just do your show. We'll use the power of Odyssey's massive expert sales team to place ads in your show and make you money. Does it get any easier than that? Nope. You stay in control of your show, and we help you bring in the money. Sounds like a dream partnership. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start earning more from your content today.
Alex Cora on the afternoon show yesterday here at WEEI, and it appears, if you listen to everything Alex said yesterday, he is open at some point to maybe cautiously asking Rafi Devers if he might help out a little bit in a pinch.
But I think he answered everybody's question. He said we asked them to do something in spring training that he really didn't want to do. He was against it. And he eventually kind of, got comfortable in his new role as a DH. Mm-hmm. So we feel like we'd rather go in other situations and try to ask him to maybe do something that he might not be as comfortable to do. Okay. No issues with that.
I hate this team right now. God, do I hate it. I find it to be so incredibly pathetic that a grown man making $7 million a year is afraid to ask a guy to play first base. Because that's what this is. Or he's covering for him because he already asked and he said no. Either way, no accountability. Like, today, going to the game with James. It's going to be a bunch of kids. Great afternoon game at Fenway Park. Why are we paying to watch an inferior product? Why are we watching Romy and Michelle's high school reunion at first base? Like, honestly, I can't wait to ask Craig Breslow why he doesn't have the balls to do his job and demand his manager put the best roster on the field.
Oh, he will be with us at 9, so half an hour
away. But isn't it
away.
That simple? You're paying the guy $30 million a year. You have an opening
at first
base. You're
going to ask him why he doesn't have the balls, though?
Why is your organization afraid to ask their player to do what's best for the team?
I mean, the reason that you re-signed, one of the reasons you re-signed Alex Cora is Curtis, I believe, because he is a player's manager. So he is, he's able to massage these guys.
All right, question. Yes. Isn't the purpose of being a player's manager that the players then do things you ask without wondering why? That you have that relationship. The only purpose that would serve is that the player feels the trust of the coach or the manager. Therefore, they will do things they may not do for other people.
Yeah.
I don't understand why people are upset about it. Like, we didn't want him to play third base. Now, all of a sudden, we want him to play first
base. Because the team's better with him at first.
How is the team better with him at first base?
Because then you have much more flexibility with Roman Anthony to DH. You have other players that you can, Yoshida, you can have other guys.
Well, why can't you put Roman Anthony at first base? He's probably a better athlete.
Because he's not a first baseman in his career.
But
and
neither
he's the
is
number
Devers,
one prospect
though.
In baseball.
Devers has never played first base in his career.
Right.
And Roman Anthony is probably maybe a better athlete than Devers. Right? So why not put the best?
I just told you why. He's not going to be a first baseman. He is in the infancy of his career. He is the literal number one prospect in Major League Baseball.
Right.
And it's far more difficult for him to get to where he wants to go if he takes a detour to first base. Whereas Rafi Devers is hitting. He said he wants to play the field. Then you have maximum roster flexibility with Devers at first, Bregman at third, and then DH
du jour. But if you have a guy who is in the beginning of his career, isn't it better for him to, like,
no.
Marcelo Mayer plays a bunch of positions, right? Mm-hmm. So why wouldn't you use guys that are younger and they could, have a little bit more of flexibility to kind of learn multiple positions versus a guy who's much older and who's only played one position in his career, and now he's settled into the DH position. You could still, I would rather, and I'd rather the more athletic guy play first base.
I think that some people look at it like you're paying the guy $30 million, so you want to get the most value out of him that you can.
Right, and I think, Wiggy, you make good points, and I think my frustration is more with the organization in that if they said what you just said, I wouldn't have a problem with it. But they said they haven't even talked about it, and not because they have a better answer, but because Devers is settling into a position after being kicked off of his regular position in spring training. That, to me, is not the answer you give your fan base.
This is Mike from East Longmeadow. Hello, Mike.
Morning. How are you guys?
What's up?
Well, originally you were talking about Mazzulla and giving him some of the blame, if not most of the blame, for his play calling and not calling timeout at the end.
Yep.
How much of this Red Sox mediocrity do you give blame to Cora? And the reason I bring it up is because the Red Sox have been the last team in defense for the last couple of years. They're striking out more than any other team, and they continue to do that, and there doesn't seem to be any changes. I kind of blame Cora for that.
It's kind of like baseball. I mean, basketball. Shoot the threes, and in baseball, swing for the fences. So they don't mind strikeouts.
But if you look at when you're leading the league in strikeouts and you're not moving runners along, that's one of the criticisms of the Red Sox. And that's what they've been doing for the last couple of years, and nothing changes. Now, I understand if you're swinging for the fences, you're going to strike out more, but it's costing them games because they're not putting the ball in play. They're getting 10, 12 strikeouts a game. That's unheard of.
Yeah.
And their defense. They've been one of the last teams in defense in baseball for a couple of years now.
Yeah. Listen.
I blame Cora. Cora part of it.
I am always told it's a long season, and so don't worry about it until later. But what's bothersome is that some of these games they are losing to teams that they ought to be racking up wins against. So
they have had the easiest schedule in baseball to this point in their 500.
They won last night.
Yep.
Night before, you know, you lose that game, and you're losing to the team that has the fewest runs scored in the American League.
Yeah.
That coming in, Texas had lost 9 of the last 12 or whatever it was.
That was raining cats and dogs, though.
But doesn't matter.
we're back to the weather again?
It was bad, though.
Well, first it was the cold weather. Now it's the rain?
The rain is different.
But if it wasn't for Abreu and Bregman, like, we would be terrible. Like, they're the saving grace for this team, too.
The story's pretty good, too, at the plate. Story's been pretty good. Campbell's been solid. I mean, I don't know. Cora says that other than the first besides the first week of the season, Devers has been good. I mean, I don't know. I'm not in the weeds when it comes to, you know, OPS and batting average.
Yeah, you should be, Shimes. I love this. Like, this may be a ridiculous argument, but it comes up every time we talk about this from a Maine texter. Why wouldn't you put Bregman at first and move Raffy back to third? Like, would he be willing to play third base? Like, that to me is the dumbest thing you'd ever do because you lose Bregman over there. But
and Buster Olney speaks with several evaluators across Major League Baseball and ranking the options now that Casas is gone. He has Devers playing first, the best option. And one evaluator said, I don't think Devers will be bad at first. It's not like he was a total zero at third. He was okay at times. And then Buster Olney writes, if Devers were to play first, that would open up the DH spot for Cora to use as a resting spot for position players dealing with wariness or nagging injuries, creating an opening for Roman Anthony or Marcelo Mayer to be promoted.
This is Steve in the truck. Hey, Steve.
Good morning, people. How are we doing today?
What's up, Steve?
Chris, I love you, but it wasn't great.
Steve, can you call in with a better phone? Every time you call in, it sounds like you're under the sea.
We'll wait.
Maybe
Steve.
He's calling from one of those underground cities.
It's just like, I can't.
Wait, are you on board with the underground city thing now?
I've always been on board with the underground city
thing. I didn't know you were on board with it.
Yeah, of course.
Okay. I thought you were laughing facetiously during my lead the other day.
No, I absolutely believe it. I brought up the point of the guy on TikTok who claims he was a barista at a Starbucks in one of those underground cities.
That's the underground highway.
Oh, yeah, underground highway in L.A.
Right. And that one definitely exists.
But I would assume that if that exists, then similar things exist across the country.
Yeah. Why am I not aware of the underground highway?
Well, have you ever thought about...
Probably because I'm not on the TikTok.
If you're ever in like California where all the celebs are, like, wouldn't you expect that you see, you know, Taylor Swift, Miley Cyrus, like in cars next to you on the highway? Uh-huh. Never. Right. You never see like celebrity in their car driving.
Okay, so there's some kind of a VIP elite underground highway that nobody knows about.
Well, and really? There's In-N-Out, there's Starbucks. Gas Station Chime.
Underground?
I believe so.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
None of them drive gas-powered vehicles.
Yeah. Really? Well, probably charging stations, Curtis. You're right.
Courtney, I have a question.
Yeah.
What does everybody have on them now at all times?
Cell phones.
And what do those have?
Cameras.
Yeah.
And what do you have that you could use to maybe send a picture to a bunch of people?
No. If you have access to the underground, you can't share it.
Right.
To your point, yeah. Why don't we have a ton of videos or photos of celebrities driving their cars on the highway?
I think
probably have drivers.
No, not really.
Wasn't there a video of Justin Timberlake just yelling and screaming at?
Well, Justin Timberlake wasn't in L.A. He was in New York when he had his DUI.
Right. No. Justin Timberlake only drives drunk.
No, when somebody pulled up next to him. My thing is if there is this underground tunnel.
Mm-hmm. Secret underground highway.
There has to be an access
celebrity
point.
Highway, they call it.
Right,
Chime,
celebrity
help
highway.
Me out here.
So,
Greg, what if they call it the HOMV or VIP lane?
So the access point would only be available to the celebrities, but it would also
you drive into the Playboy Mansion.
Yeah, it'd have to be secretive.
So why did the barista tell us?
Because what's the thing you sign that you can't
NDA?
NDA. I wanted to say DN something, but yeah, NDA. They all sign NDAs, and his has since expired, and so that's why he was able to.
So my guess is other people's would have expired too, right?
Unless
so
they stay employed there forever.
Dumb move by the attorneys, having him sign an NDA that expires.
He also claims too that like at these underground Starbucks locations, the celebs don't pay. They just walk in, grab their stuff, and leave.
I just googled how long must they retain.
And there's some women who like are hooking up with a celebrity or like a one night stand type deal, and they've been taken through the underground highway, and they've talked
and
about it after.
TikTok.
Yeah, they're on TikTok.
They've been on celebrity highway.
Yeah, they say they go down like into the highway at one point, and then all of a sudden they pop up and they're in a completely different part of LA.
I feel like Harriet Tubman.
But where's
you believe this?
Where, Courtney, where's the access point?
Well, I don't know, Wiggy.
Because
Wiggy, we're not elite.
We don't have.
Because I'm going to tell you what happens every time a celebrity comes out of a club or a restaurant and they get
there's
in a
paparazzi.
Car.
Paparazzi.
So wouldn't they follow them and then know where the access point would be? And so,
but why doesn't anybody follow?
So, and by the way, Greg, so don't scoff at paparazzi paninis for lunch. Very good.
You would think there'd be a million paparazzi at the access point.
Well, they don't know where it is either.
But they're following them when they're driving.
They have no idea.
And like it's
Wellesley Center.
It almost seems like they're just what they're probably
they
doing.
They lose the tail.
I know what they're doing.
Obscure reference. Lose the tail.
Departed.
Yes, they're probably doing like from Analyze This, I believe it, where they go in and they change the limos, and then 15 black limos come out.
Yeah, you'll never know which one they're in.
But let me just ask this one more time: if you're a barista, how much do you make on a great year?
Probably one of these underground places a lot more than normal baristas.
Right. Okay. Right. Right.
So they're making $200,000-$300,000 getting macchiatos and underground?
It's a good job.
And the celebrities, just to be clear, they are provided free access to the food and such and the charging stations.
Yeah, they don't pay.
It's all free.
I will say I have a source that is close to a very, very big celebrity who just texted me and said, never used a secret highway. Does not believe it's real.
Huh.
Hmm. We'll never get those minutes back.
You may be.
It's still holding out hope.
I still believe there's something under the Denver airport as well.
Oh, that's a good one too, Shime.
Yep.
This is Jay from South Boston. Hello, Jay.
Good morning, guys. Before I get on the Celtics, I want to say, Craig, the smile looks immaculate. All right?
Thank you.
Great smile.
It's Dr.
Shout
Wu.
Shout out to your Dr. Michelle Wu. I might vote for her this year.
Dr. Wu.
Hot Coco.
Yes.
Great take. I was against the whole, it might not be Missoula, but looking the way he reacted to the to the media yesterday was a clear indication that this is his game plan. He wants to shoot 9 out of 3. So at this point, we can't blame anyone but Mazzulla. Thank you, guys.
Jay, you cut out for – you still there?
Yeah, I'm still here.
You cut out for a minute. You're saying he just wants – he's going to shoot the threes until they either win the series or they're out of it, and he's not going to listen to anybody.
Exactly. He's going to live and die by the three, and this is what we get. There's nothing else we can complain about. It's literally the threes.
How do you think the chess master feels about it?
Oof. Analytics, Greg. It makes sense, you know.
Joshua Waitzkin, who is a coach on the Celtics. I actually have a photo of Joshua. If you are watching the show on Twitch or on YouTube, and he was the subject of the great film Searching for Bobby Fischer. I don't know, Wiggy, did you see that? That's our time. Lawrence Fishburne and Ben Kingsley.
Mm. I heard of it. I don't think I've seen it, though.
So he has been added to the coaching staff.
Right.
Because he took Joe on an incredible retreat where they climbed a mountain without their shoes on.
And I believe they're both martial arts enthusiasts.
Yes. Oh, okay.
He looks like a slightly less detached Zuckerberg.
Well, he could draw up an out-of-bounds play.
You think he can?
I mean, I would hope so if you're that good at chess, right? Strategy.
What would the Celtics do the remainder of the series if they were coachless?
The same?
They'd have to hit their threes.
Right. Like, I just find it so amazing that in one breath, Mazzulla talks to the reporters asking him basic questions like he is so much superior to them. And then he just says, yeah, if we make him, we win. Like, then what the hell is your job? Mm-hmm.
It is pretty hard to, like, you know, as you watch it, you're like, the threes are what help you win a championship and what got you there.
But were they, though? I mean, we talked about this earlier.
Yep.
Is it not fair to question whether the easy road was what helped you win a championship last season?
Yeah, but you were still doing the same thing, though. Even though the road was easier, you were still putting up, you know, the not the same amount of attempts, but you were still putting up a lot of three-pointers. Mazzulla's right to a certain extent. You were hitting. You're not going to beat a team when you're shooting. What are they shooting?
25 of 100
in this series. Like,
they've taken 100 threes and they have made 25.
So you're shooting 25%,
which is atrocious,
right? And what are the Knicks? The Knicks are probably shooting close to 40% in three. You're not going to beat a team that way. And that's just that's the thing. When you look at what they did last year in every series of the playoffs, they always shot a better three-point percentage than their opponent.
Well, I did not think that we would be in here this morning talking about this scenario, but we are. Celtics down 2 games, heading to New York. Game 3 on Saturday. You can talk about it all day long here on Boston Sports Original WEEI.